Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. Hi, welcome tonight to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, and we have a very special treat tonight. We have Mark and Pat Juarez with us, and Mark and Pat, did I see something wrong?
Is that how you pronounce your last name?
That's good enough, yeah.
Okay.
If I said that wrong, then I might as well just go ahead and...
That's okay. Just checking.
Leslie's from El Paso.
Oh, okay.
So we have true Spanish pronunciation here. Did you want to help us out?
No, that's okay. But we're so glad to have
we
Mark
are
and
so
Pat
glad.
Here tonight.
And Mark and Pat were with us at the last EMS weekend, and so we thought it would be... a good thing to be able to have someone actually here live that's actually been at the EMS weekends besides staff. I mean, we at staff kind of have our perspective on what occurs there. But Mark and Pat also have their perspective because they were outsiders coming in.
Well, and they were with us over the weekend as chaplain and chaplain's wife. And so we were so grateful to them because this is something we haven't ever done before at EMS.
Would that be chaplain, chaplainette? A chaplain's wife. I don't know.
I don't know, but
Mrs. Chaplain.
But yeah.
Mrs. Chaplain.
But they were our first chaplain couple for EMS, and we were so thrilled to have them, and they added so much to the weekend. But we did invite them, and we're so glad they're here this evening.
And if any of you out there tonight have questions, please call us at 512-365-9930. That's 512-365-9930. We would love to hear from you. And also, if you would like to email, you can email us at rick@hope-now.com. That's rick@hope-now.com. Tonight, they'll be answering questions. So, again, if you've got anything you want to know about an EMS weekend, or actually they could talk to you about any type of marital difficulty, because y'all have been married how long now?
We just had our 42nd anniversary.
Yeah, so...
Congratulations.
Exactly right.
That's an accomplishment.
It is. So if you've been married less than 42 years, you can call Mark and Pat tonight, and they will tell you how at least to get to 42. Now, I don't know about after that, but they've got the first 42 down.
Well, and they work with couples a lot who are having marital problems and even couples who deal with infidelity.
In fact, if y'all don't mind, tell us how you got into ministry and how long you've been working and where you worship. I mean, do y'all mind sharing that?
Well, heavens no. Like I said, Pat and I have been married 42 years, and we're on staff at Northwest Fellowship in Austin, and we've been on staff there for the past 6 years, and one of our primary responsibilities is to the married couples of Northwest Fellowship.
So, Trey Kent, I believe, is the pastor at Northwest Fellowship, correct?
He is. Well, great guy, too.
Yeah, actually, I knew that because I love Trey. Trey, if you're listening out there tonight, you've got to call us 365-9930.
If nothing else, just to tell Rick hi and let Mark talk.
That's right. Because we miss you, Trey. I haven't gotten to see you since my son left Regents and we're not playing in basketball anymore, so we don't get to bump into each other anymore.
But to answer your question, what got us into actually marriage ministry, to have a real heart for it, is because Pat and I, we got married. I was in the Navy, and I came home from my first tour of Vietnam, and my parents had moved across the street from her parents. And so she was sweet 16 years old, and she made it
You have just told everybody in the whole world I'm 58 years old.
Well, I don't know that they were adding out there.
Yeah, thank you. I'll help.
But anyhow, we had a long engagement. We met in June of 1965, and in September of 1965, we got married.
Wow.
So it was we didn't know the Lord. We were lost as a goose, and
we did everything wrong, Rick. Everything.
Well, I think
wrong.
That makes you more qualified to help other couples, actually.
Right.
I do.
So, well, we know how bad it can be, so we know how good it can get.
And then, so we bounced along for 9 years, not knowing the Lord. And at the nine-year juncture, we were pretty well done. We were finished. And what happened was it was at Christmas time of 1974, and we were ready to get a divorce. It was kind of like we're hanging in there for the kids, and so we decided we were going to watch television to find some Christmas carols and watch something for Christmas. And all we could get was Oral Roberts on the TV, and so they were singing Christmas carols. That was the good part, but the bad part was when Oral got up to speak. And normally, now we have a remote, we can do it. And my kids weren't around; they used to be our remote. So change the channel. But anyhow, we listened to him. I believe God just really grabbed our hearts. We didn't give our lives to the Lord that night. Mm-hmm. But it was what I said to my wife was, I said, you know what? Maybe we should try to go to church. It can't hurt anything. So that was the start of our road to as far as recovery, for us to begin to know the Lord and then to become interested in our marriage relationship.
So you actually work in ministry, correct, now?
Absolutely, full-time, yeah.
So how long was it before you were in full-time ministry from that point in time?
Oh, that's a different story. When I turned 40, they say life begins at 40.
Amen.
And so I went to Life Bible College in Southern California at age 40. So it's been 22 years ago since I did that. Yeah.
And you ended up, how'd you get to, I'm sorry, one more question, because I don't know the answer to these guys, so if y'all don't mind, just bear with me, but how'd you get to Austin?
We came over here. We'd been on staff at 9 years together on staff at a church in Pasadena, California, and we'd sensed the Lord telling us that it was our time was done there. And what had happened was there was another couple that was coming over to actually plant a church here in the Austin area, and they invited us to come with them. And so we thought, yeah, that's what God wants us to do, and we really had a sense for doing it. And that's actually how we met with Trey, was because he was a church planter, and he was just such an encouragement to us, in those early days. And it was a great, great relationship. Yeah.
You bet. Well, we're glad that you landed in Austin. I mean, that's a tremendous blessing to us. And I believe y'all also worked some, Pat, you worked some with the Intimate Life Ministry for a while?
I did, yeah. I was there for a year and received awesome training. And we love the material, and we do use it in our ministry. But we also have fallen in love with your material, so it's quite a beautiful blend. So I can see the good of using both types of materials.
Well, good. So y'all showed up at our EMS weekend last weekend, Friday morning, bright and early, for Round Rock Donuts, because you always start with Round Rock Donuts. I
mean, we do.
Yeah. Leslie.
It's
Leslie,
a tradition.
That's right. Leslie and John kindly go by and pick up the Round Rock Donuts.
At 6 o'clock in the morning.
They wait in line at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
At Round Rock Donuts. And the couples came in. So during that first day, we talked a lot about addiction cycles. People talked about the struggles that they had been going through. I don't know kind of what God impressed on your own hearts about that, but what did you witness during that Friday as you watched those couples begin to kind of go through their journey? No names, please.
For me, I learned about addictions a lot more, more than I ever wanted to know. But
that's probably true.
But I noticed that the people were normal people that just got caught up in a horrible, horrible trap, And so it gave me more compassion for the offender that has hurt their spouse. So that was, for me, the biggest thing on the first day.
I think for me, the one thing is that we came into a place that, first of all, was a very safe place, that people could come.
Absolutely.
And as you asked them to say, this is going to be you kept saying the day's going to get harder in the couple of days. And then you opened up and says, would you tell your story, you know? But and that seemed to me that would be a hard thing to do, just tell your story. But when you ask them to do that, you know, it was a place where it would be safe for them to do that. Mm-hmm. And that the other couples that were there that could understand that, yeah, there's other people going through the same trial that they're having to go through. And I really like the way that you guys, as a, you know, Rick, you and Leslie and John, as you guys walk them through step by step some of the things that maybe they wouldn't even think about doing had they had to do it on their own. I know that over 30 years ago that we had a relationship with some friends that had, in other words, infidelity in their marriage, and quite frankly, you know, there was no tools out there 30 years ago to work with that worked mm-hmm. like you guys, what you have going on here. I mean, it's really great.
Yeah, and you know, I think that you talk about that first morning. I mean, you've got couples that are really scared. I know you saw that and wondering, you know, if we're going to make it, what's going to happen here, how this thing is going to all work out. And I think one of the things I always feel by the end of the first day is that at least they begin to see that maybe there's a roadmap, there's a way back through this thing, that there's a reason why this is happening, and that maybe they're not crazy, because sometimes I think you feel a bit crazy.
I think the big word there is that you guys offer hope to them. In other words, you didn't make any promise, you know, but you did, like you said, give them the map, and that they could finish that day with some hope that, you know, that we can go another day, you know, that, and that's really what I heard you say, it's a day at a time, you know, that.
Right.
And I think some of the goals that you said too that made sense to me is that oftentimes that the couples are trying to look for a place where they return to where they were at the very beginning, or maybe when they got married. And I think a key thing that I heard you say, Rick, is that it wasn't about going back and trying to recover that place, that they're in a new place in their life, and what they had to do is to be able to build on what's here now, and that with God's help that they could do that. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry y'all can't see this. This ought to be on television. Mark uses his hands, and Pat keeps trying to help him not use his hands. He can't talk without his hands. This is actually the best.
But it's nice because you can see that he means it emphatically. So I appreciate the emphasis.
So all the background noise you all are hearing is Mark pounding on the table.
And I guess we're heading to break.
So again, if you would like to call us tonight, we're at area code 512-365-9930. That's 512-365-9930. Or you can email us at rick@hope-now.com. Thank you.
Hope. Hope for the brokenhearted. Hope for those who have made a mistake. Hope for those impacted by betrayal. Hope for couples who feel no hope. The Affair Recovery Center is designed to offer hope, direction, and help for couples and individuals whose lives have been ripped by infidelity. There is hope at the Affair Recovery Center. We can all personally testify to what God can do by what we have personally experienced. Let us help. We are a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We can be reached at affairrecovery.com, or you can call toll-free at 888-527-2367. That's 888-527-2367. Do you believe in modern-day miracles? I do. Because daily, I witness them as couples who are torn asunder by infidelity are reconciled. Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, founder of the Affair Recovery Center. Please join us each Sunday evening
from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time at A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, where we witness on an ongoing basis the miracles of God. We have seen and witnessed that there is nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Welcome back to A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, where we actually believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. So, with that being said, Pat, you were actually saying, if you can remember back that long during the break, one of the other things that you were saying about the, I think, for people coming.
Yeah, what I was saying was that it removes aloneness. When you're in that group setting like that, you find out, I'm not the only person in this kind of pain, that there are other people out there, and maybe their situations are even worse than the one I'm in, so that they can go there and find out that they're not the only ones out there, and there's hope. And then through different programs you have in place, that there's support groups for them, whether they be the betrayed or the betrayer. And I think that's really important for people to know about.
Yeah, I think the aloneness, that's a great turn, because I think it can oftentimes feel incredibly alone. And, again, you don't know who to talk to, because if you talk to somebody who's got their own pain, they may come in there and actually tell you to do things you don't want to do, that don't feel right to you, or encourage you other directions you don't want to go. So I think finding that place where people are accepting where you're at is a really nice place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's true both for the people who have been unfaithful and the people who have been hurt, because sometimes, I don't know if you all saw this or not, but sometimes at the beginning of the weekend, the people who have been unfaithful kind of feel hesitant because they feel like what they've done is so terrible. And then when they hear what other people have done, I think it even helps them relax a little bit and maybe even share a little bit more openly.
Mm. Which brings us to the second day, and that's really at our seminars, you know, where things begin to get a little bit intense. You would think they're intense on day one when people are sharing their stories and we're talking about addictions, but that's just the warm-up.
Right, and we spend a lot of time on day two, for those of you listening, on empathy in addition to education. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what really struck you on day two that...
Well, there's a lot of things, but I think some of the things that come to my mind is, one is that we... You bring people to the place of being able to realize, you know, first of all, is what the kind of hurt that they've caused their mate, and that's really reinforced. But some of the other things that were really good was the talking about not trying to live normal, in other words, just kind of covering over it and living in a normal way, but to be able to, in other words, to be open and understand that the person that's been betrayed has to grieve. There has to be that period of time that they can grieve, and it's okay to do that. And it's okay if they ask questions to say, you know, because there's a need to know. And I think, you know, you gave the illustration about the pressure cooker, you know, that if those things aren't discussed and talked about and grieved over, that sooner or later, 3 or 4 years, just by trying to live normal, 3 or 4 years from now, the lid's going to come off of it, and there's going to be some real problems.
Yeah. You know, and on Saturday morning, we talk a lot about thought life and how in the world do you try to control, because that's really the huge battle, right? I mean, how do you stop thinking about this? Because it's really painful, I think, for both the hurt spouse and for the unfaithful spouse to think about this 70 and 80% of the day. You'd like to be able to think about something different again, you know?
Well, and one of the things we do on day two, we separate the unfaithful and the spouses who have been hurt. And I don't know if you all, I mean, because Rick and I are kind of used to what we do, if you guys noticed anything particular when the couples were divided up, what happened?
Yeah, I did. I noticed that when I stayed with the group for that had been betrayed, Mark went with the other group, and I noticed that the particular group I was with, they opened up, and they shared maybe more fully without their spouses in the room. So I did notice that.
In the other group, too, I think Rick puts a little bit of pressure on, a little bit of heat.
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit of heat. I mean, I felt the heat just sitting there, and I wasn't filling it out, but to have to come up with think about 40 ways that, that the infidelity caused their wife or husband to be hurt, and the reason for that. And I thought that was pretty amazing to have to think through that. And some people got to 20, and Rick would just say, no. He says, there's 140 out there, but just you need to get 20 more. But you just pressed on him to realize that they would try to understand what that caused for their mate. You know, I thought that was really good, Rick, mm-hmm. You know,
that's great,
to be able to work through that.
Well, I think it's interesting that if we're not able to, I think, express clearly to our mate that we understand what's happened to them, mm-hmm. it's really hard for the hurt spouse to begin to feel safe enough to kind of reengage back in that relationship. And, you know, those guys this weekend, I mean, they did such a great job.
Did.
It was just astounding.
They did.
Watching them just kind of begin to come back toward their mates. And I want to be careful because we had both men and women.
Yes, we did.
I'm trying not to speak in one particular.
Yeah, I have to try to keep him on track.
Yeah, I'm working at that. But everybody did such a tremendous job, I think, just kind of connecting and just saying, hey, you know, look, this, it cost you this, it cost you this. And it was pretty amazing. It was a blessing to watch these guys.
Mm-hmm. I actually went back and told our married team about, because we practice confession and forgiveness because we were trained through Intimate Life Ministries and for what we do. And so we went back and we talked about, you know, about how they made that exchange like that, you know, with back and forth with each other. So I thought that was good.
Yeah.
So with you, Pat, did anything in particular strike you when you were listening to the hurt spouses? Because I never get to always have group
he
envy.
He tries to sneak in, but they always get really
kick
quiet when he sneaks
they
in.
They really do. I mean, they keep kicking me back upstairs with all the, you know, me and the unfaithful guys are always upstairs, you know.
I think they opened up and they asked questions that they may have not asked in front of their spouses. Like, you know, for instance, how long is this going to take, that type of thing. The subject of forgiveness did come up, like, do I really need to forgive them? And so that type of thing did come up. I like the way you guys were able to answer those questions for them, that it made sense. You know, it wasn't just a pat answer, well, you're a good little Christian, you need to forgive now. You know, because when you're in that kind of pain, that's really difficult to do.
It really is. And sadly enough, a lot of times I have clients come in and they've been to counselors or pastors who just say, you know, you need to go ahead and forgive already. And maybe they only found out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, what happened was I asked Rick, I said, are we able to go back, because we do marriage ministry, can we go back and use those tools? And it just so happened that we're counseling with a couple right now that's going through that specific problem. And so I said, I'm going to take a chance here because I know the guys are running smoothly, but I'm going to stir the pot. And so I talked to them about the need to be able for the spouse to be able to grieve and to be able to talk about those things that they needed to know about. And so as it worked out, it worked out 2 days later, I got an email back from the person at the top that says stirred the pot. And I was almost scared to open the email because I thought, oh man, I really blew it, you know. But they just said how grateful they were that we brought that tool back for them to be able to use, you know. So that was a good thing. I think the other thing really, really good too, Rick, is that you guys do is that you really, at least for me, hone in on how to not to relapse again. And I think that is so important when a couple comes. Yes. Not only the healing can happen between them, but how do we do prevention? And one of the key things that I really think was important was that you talked about such, you know, seemingly unimportant decisions. But the other thing that you talked about was that being in weakness. That if we remain in weakness,
right.
rather than saying, you know, oh, I'm strong, I'm okay now, I don't need anything. And we get self-reliant that we, you know, that's where we begin to fall down again. We're going to have a relapse. Yeah.
Yeah, that is not a message most of us want to hear. I mean, I think we've all been raised in a church, or maybe in, at least I was raised in a place that was always about strength. It was always about overcoming. It's kind of that sacrificial, heroic sort of attempt on our part to overcome. And, you know, I look at Paul and just his, do you mind if I may have quoted this on here, but I just love the message in the translation of 2 Corinthians 12, just where he says, you know, because of everything I'd accomplished, I was actually given the gift of an addiction. At first, Satan's angels did his best to get me down, but what he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. There certainly wasn't any danger of me walking around like I had my act together. At first, I actually couldn't see my addiction as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. Three times I did that. And then he said, Paul, my grace is enough. It's all you need. You don't need to be whole. You don't need to be fixed. Actually, my strength comes into its own in your weakness. But when I heard that, I was actually glad to let it happen. So I quit focusing on my addiction, and I began appreciating my gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. And I think it's hard for us to kind of keep that mindset. But if that's the mindset that Paul actually kept, I think that's probably good enough for us, just to be able to sit there and know that ultimately I will only fail at my place of strength. I will never fail where I think I'm too weak, but I'll always fail where I think I can handle it.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's a very different way for us to begin to think, that it's going to be about a dependence on God rather than more independence on my part.
Self-reliance.
And self-reliance, exactly right. Because, you know, the best of the flesh is always the worst of the flesh, right?
Amen.
You know, and that'll always get us in trouble when we start, even if it's our good flesh trying to overcome our bad flesh. As Paul says in Romans 7, good flesh does not overcome bad flesh. An impossibility. So I'm glad you like that relapse part. I mean, that's actually the thing that keeps me clean and sober through the years. Without that, I would be in serious trouble myself.
Thanks for your transparency that day, too. That was really, I think it's important for couples that we can be transparent with one another. You know, that's helpful to them. That offers hope to them, too, to say, been there, you know, but God, we can do this, you know.
Right. And you know, as we say, there's nothing the nearest of God cannot heal. You know, he can cure anything. Yeah. But we've got to somehow get reliant and get close to him again. So, I mean, and the way that you guys, I think, is you just sat there and loved on the couples. I mean, I love that. I appreciated you joining our prayer team on Saturday. I mean, some of you people out there may not know, but we actually have a prayer team that comes up Saturdays and at lunch. And for the couples that want, I mean, obviously not everybody is interested in that, but it is a tremendous time of just healing and God speaking and God beginning to heal. And the two of you just joining in with those guys, we just appreciated that so much.
What was really neat, too, is the next morning, when we prayed actually on Saturday, two couples came in on Sunday and says, we want you to pray with us before you go. We go before the day ends, you know, so that was good. So they hadn't made that decision on Saturday, but on, you know, I did kind of give them a little bit of a holy push on Saturday. And then Sunday they came in and said, yeah, we want you to pray with us, you know.
So how did you give them a holy push? I haven't heard this.
Well, I just said... I noticed that, you know, you didn't get to come in during the prayer time, and you know, that, you know, maybe you didn't get to fill out that yellow sheet you had floating around. And I said, you know, I just want to let you know we're available, and if you want us to pray, we're going to be here to do that for you. So
yeah. I think you know, for our perspective as pastors too, it was really, really neat to be able to be there when you had a little minor hiccup over the weekend. And I was able to pray with one of the women and get her back into the group, because she was ready to run, you know. And so that was pretty neat, too. So.
It was. It was really great to have you there.
Yeah.
Right. And hiccups are not uncommon over the weekend. I think it's such an emotional time for everyone. So I think, you know, I tell people to anticipate that things will be difficult. Mm-hmm. And there'll probably be times you want to bolt, and times you want to sharpen your pencil and fall on it, and times you want to do a lot of things. But hopefully by the time the weekend's over, you're past all of those crises points. You know, mm-hmm. It's just right in the middle of it that it gets a little bit difficult. So Sunday morning, we're going to take a break.
Yeah,
here, guys.
We're going to come back after the break. We're talking with Mark and Pat Suarez. Juarez, I'm sorry.
And if you would like to call us, we're at area code 512-365-9930. It's 512-365-9930. Guys, the callers, y'all are doing terrible tonight. Usually we have more calls than this. Somebody call in and ask him a question.
Or ask anyway, Rick a question. Ask Rick a really hard question.
Just ask me a hard question. Good. We'll see you after the break. Thanks, guys.
David Cirillo, president of Inspiration Ministries, with Inspiration Today.
There was a point in King David's life where he felt discouraged and overwhelmed. The Bible says he lost hope, and he thought to himself, "No one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me." It was in this place of hopelessness and despair he realized that even though no one else seemed to care, God did. When he was backed into a corner and his enemies seemed too strong for him, he could count on God to rescue him. You know, our real enemy, the devil, wants us to focus on the circumstances of our lives that we're going through. He wants you to feel like no one cares and no one is there to help you. My friend, I encourage you today, seek the Lord, look to him. He'll come and save you. The one true God will surely come.
To receive your Inspiration Today daily devotions on your cell phone or via email, go to inspirationtoday.com.
Do you believe in modern-day miracles? I do. Because daily, I witness them as couples who are torn asunder by infidelity are reconciled. Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, founder of the Affair Recovery Center. Please join us each Sunday evening from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time at Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, where we witness on an ongoing basis the miracles of God. We have seen and witnessed that there is nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, and we're here with Mark and Pat Juarez and Leslie and George, our producer.
He's always so helpful. Thank you, George.
Helpful. And you can reach us at 365-9930. That's area code 512-365-9930. And during the break, we had a question arise. Actually, George, the producer, asked a question.
It was a very good question.
It was a great question. He said, "Would you explain more about the good flesh, bad flesh?" And in my mind, a lot of times we try to overcome our lousy habits by our own self-effort, trying very, very hard to finally be good. We work hard at reading the right self-help books, going and trying to talk to people, spiritual disciplines,
which are good things. They're not bad things,
but it's not about the power of God doing it through us. It's actually about my self-effort. And I really believe that self-effort and self-control are what we call our good flesh. In the entire history of mankind, has never been successful at overcoming sin in us. That's what Paul, I think, talks about in Romans chapter 7. The things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I keep on doing. So if I do the things I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me. And that's a very loose paraphrase. But ultimately, my good flesh is incapable of overcoming my bad flesh. And so we just have a battle in our flesh. And so it's either going to be the Spirit of God working through us and our surrender to Him and allowing His life to flow through us, or it's going to be our self-effort, which I think will always end in ultimate failure. And that's, if you think even about the 12-step program, that's kind of what they teach, that it's about surrender. It's about finally accepting the fact that my best efforts at trying to do something about this have come to a point of miserable failure, and accepting the fact that if there's not a God who can do this through me, we're going to really be in serious trouble here.
Yeah, because I think both as Christians in general and after infidelity in particular, we want to follow some guidelines. We want to be able to do A, B, C, D, and get someplace. But the formula isn't the solution. Sometimes I talk about the difference between the recipe and the relationship. A lot of times we want the recipe. Well, if I do this and this, and then it'll take this long and I'll get this. And God really wants the relationship. If Jesus told his disciples it was better that they lose his physical presence to receive the Holy Spirit then that's extremely powerful, and I think sometimes we forget that.
You bet. Which moves us to Sunday morning for the weekend, guys.
EMS is what we're talking about if you just joined us.
That's right. We're talking about our emergency marital seminar on Sundays, and Mark and Pat came as our chaplain couple during this last EMS, and we'd never had opportunity to capture somebody at one of the EMSs and have them come sit behind the mics, and so they gladly volunteered, so we really appreciate that tonight.
We twisted their arm just
okay,
a little bit.
Okay, we twisted it a little bit.
Except my wife thinks that I lied to her because I told her it was only a 30-minute show. I actually have been trying to think about what George asked. He said, I'm not convinced me, you know, that this is something you need to do. And, in some ways it's kind of hard to explain that, why you need to do it. But let me just see if I can try. Is that, to me, what you have is two couples. I mean, you have a couple that are desperately hurting. I mean, both sides are hurting, not just the one, but mm-hmm. the two.
Absolutely.
And I think there's two roads that you can go. One is that you can try to do this by going weekly, week by week, and maybe spread it out over 6 or 8 months, you know, before you ever get to the place that you've come together with a place that, like I said, it's a safe place. You're not just going for an hour somewhere and going home, and then, you know, you've got all this stuff going on. You know, during the week, you've got your kids to do, you got your job to do, and you can't really focus on everything that you've heard in that hour's time. And so I think that it's so important to be able to do the words to just to say, you know what, if we want to make this marriage work, it's our desire to do that. It's going to be worth the investment. And so that we would come together, you know, and decide that we're going to go and we're going to spend that 72 hours together, and be able to go through, in other words, from day one to day three, which would take them over 12, 14, however long a therapist, they would see a therapist, and maybe never on the outside doing it that way, that they'd never be able to accomplish the thing that was accomplished in one weekend, because you're getting in the package part. You're getting to open up on day one and tell what the story is, and by the end of the weekend, then we're headed towards, in other words, forgiveness. You know, mm-hmm. we get to that part, and that a couple really, when they come together, that it's really intense, and that there's just so much help there from staff that's there, that it's that hands on all weekend long. It's not just 1 hour a week, you know, George. So I hope that helps. If it doesn't, I'll take another shot at it.
Well, so that they're not walking through it alone. They are in a very intense situation, and they're in a lot of pain. But they're not alone. They've got a huge support group there. I mean, even the people love on one another as well, you know. So I think that they encourage one another. And that's really important, that they're not feeling that alone. And they're not having to deal with their daily lives as well.
Yeah, I guess a concentrated time where you just try to knock through this thing and mm-hmm. and face it and come to a place of resolution to know where you're going to go from here.
Yeah, I think the follow-up, too, is great. It's great to be here with you tonight, Rick, but you know what I really wanted to do? Is at 7 o'clock tonight that those seven couples were there. My understanding, we were going to check in online together and meet as a group. And we wanted to get online with them, you know, and just encourage them. Because you know what? We promised to pray for them, and we're praying for them. Those seven couples, you know, that's a commitment we made to them, you know. And so I think that's really great that there's that follow-up and that connection that we can have.
And you all know who you are.
Yeah, they do. You know, I think y'all can join that group anytime you want.
Yeah.
I know they'd like to have you there with them if you've got time.
We do. We'll make time for them.
I want to also say that the facilities are beautiful. It is a beautiful place, and Rick's wife does all the cooking, and she does an awesome job of cooking.
She does, and she's a saint.
And there are so many snacks.
Yeah, the snacks are bad for you.
Yeah.
But you won't go hungry, that's for sure.
No, you won't.
What about forgiveness? What did you guys take away from Sunday morning? Because Sunday morning is really fairly intense. We start early in the morning, but we certainly hit the piece of forgiveness. Did y'all take away anything from that?
I think that for me, the part of forgiveness that I took away, it's a little bit different from, you know, actually the way we were trained. You know, we talk about confession, forgiveness when we teach, and that's important. But I think in the cases where we have gaping wounds, you know, they're just wide open, that to anticipate that you can just say, you know, will you forgive me, it's not going to work.
It's,
you know,
not realistic.
This one couple said, the person said to me, so they're not even my friend, how am I going to forgive them, you know? But but the point what I liked was is to teach this, that to be able to say that, you know, I hope that in time that you'll be able to forgive me, you know.
I also like the fact that you teach them the biblical principle of forgiveness, that you keep pointing them to Christ, that you keep pointing them to, you're not going to be able to do that forgiveness on your own strength, but you point them to Christ, and that is so key, because they can't do it in their own strength. It's an impossibility.
So when y'all counsel couples in your work, do you see forgiveness being a difficult issue for other people to work through? Is that seem to be a component for them also?
Absolutely. You know, it's our flesh, though, too, you know, that we want to hold on to. And we always try to, you know, it was like in the marriage class this morning we were talking about, is that, you know, if we don't have a trust or a belief in God, or, you know, in other words, have Christ, because Christ could be our only model for forgiveness, that we look at him, you know, and I always take them to 1 John 1:9, that, you know, that was written to the church. It wasn't, you know, it was written to us. And it says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful to forgive us, you know. And so my question always is that, you know, if, you know, do you really believe that when you go to Christ and ask him to forgive you, do you believe that he forgives you? You know, and everybody shakes their head and says, well, he doesn't. Does he say, well, you know, Mark, that's the 18th time you've done that. And you know what? I'm just going to kind of watch you for a while and see how that works, you know. That's not how God does that, you know. so it's a matter of knowing that there's a biblical, you know, injunction there for us to forgive. But I understand that there has to be a, you know, a space where, you know, we ultimately, you know, forgiveness is a decision. You know, we have to make that decision to forgive.
Anything you would add, Pat?
No, that pretty much covers it.
It was funny. I was trying to cover my swimming pool for the winter today because the leaves are starting to fall into it and it's making it kind of messy. And I was actually thinking about the whole concept of forgiveness. And, you know, it's so funny. I keep kind of learning the same things over and over again, I think. But I was thinking about one person in particular, and I was thinking, you know, why is she having trouble letting go? Why is she having trouble letting go? And I just felt the Lord kind of say to me today, you know, the problem is she's never been able to forgive or accept God's forgiveness for some things in her life. And I thought, oh, yeah, that would be biblical. I hadn't thought about that. It's really a little slow there, but I think that it is hard for us a lot of times to forgive others unless we first have been able, I think, to accept his forgiveness for
us. To know
us.
How much we've been forgiven,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly, right. And it's a really tough thing. But especially when the wound is so incredible, like when it comes to this sort of thing, I think it's very easy to begin to think that there's nothing in my life that I've ever done. And yet, I think we so easily maybe minimize and don't realize some of our own actions. It's just we lose sight of them. As just because of the intensity of the pain that comes at the,
we tend to minimize our own. You know, it's the parable of the, you know, taking the speck out of your brother's eye. You know,
yeah,
you'll see the log in your own. You know,
yeah. So I'm glad, and I believe it's time for a break here. So guys, you've got one more chance to give us a call to talk to Mark and Pat.
Trey, call in.
He's not really listening. We're going to get him now. It's area code 512-365-9930. That's 512-365-9930. Thank you.
Sharing daily light for daily living. Anne Graham Lotz.
Heaven is a big place. Jesus described it in all its vastness in John 14:2 when he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, room for everyone who chooses to be a member of God's family." As a child of God, heaven is your home. So go ahead. Feel free to invite your entire family, including in-laws, every one of your friends, all of your neighbors, the total population of your city, your state, your nation. Invite everybody in the whole wide world. Heaven is a great big place. It will never be crowded or overpopulated. Tell everyone you know that they've been invited to live forever in heaven. But they must RSVP to the invitation by putting their trust in Jesus. I look forward to seeing you and them in my Father's house. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Hi, my name is Pastor Michael Lewis from Great Hills Baptist Church. You're listening to The Word 99.3 and 98.5 teaching and talk for Austin and Central Texas.
Welcome back to A Fair Recovery Radio, radio to the power of God. And we're here with Mark and Pat. For us. And as we come to the last piece of our program here tonight, I just invite you to call us at 365-9930. That's 512-365-9930. And we're talking about our emergency marital seminars. And it was interesting during the break we were discussing pain and how do you move beyond these things and why do you even want to try to work things out. And I think it's really interesting as to a quote, actually, we heard this past week. I thought about what they said. Remember in the truck driving back, and right. Leslie and I were saying, what did he say? Neither of us could remember. And he was saying, you know, that we enter marriage so incredibly naive. We're naive to what this thing is really going to be. And during church today, I was actually kind of praying about that. And instead of listening to the sermon, actually taking some notes about that, because I was just kind of fascinated by the concept of why we're so naive. But then he said, while we enter marriage naive, we exit marriage even more naive. That the naivete of those leaving marriage and their lack of understanding of what the ramifications of all of this divorce, what it is, we have no way of comprehending what actually occurs afterwards.
Right, because having been through divorce myself, a lot of times I have couples come in or clients come in, and after the pain of infidelity, they think, oh my gosh, this is so painful. There's no reason that I should stay in this marriage. It's unbearable. If I leave this marriage, it'll go away. And I know from personal experience that that's not really true, that even the person who's been betrayed in their marriage, or the person who's been unfaithful in the marriage, if they divorce, they still go through things after that. They still need to recover. We actually spoke on Friday to a group of people, and I had a young gentleman come up who had been divorced for 5 years, and he was talking about the anger that he still had from his wife's betrayal. Because truly, if you don't have some sort of recovery, it never just goes away.
But if you truly want to see people who are a total mess, then you just need to go to a divorce recovery class. And God bless them, but I mean, it's really painful. I mean, it is terribly difficult. And so there is, I think, a naivete that comes because we somehow think that, you know, there's a solution and there's an exit strategy that somehow makes this thing better, and we really believe that divorce prevention and letting God somehow heal a betrayal, if, you know, the unfaithful spouse is willing to take responsibility, and if, you know, the hurt spouse is willing to at least maybe listen to God and see how he might lead them one way or the other, that certainly is a preferred path.
I think what you said about when you get married, you know, every couple, they're almost, I don't want to say every, but a lot of couples are really naive about getting married, even if we're believers. And one thing, at least at Northwest Fellowship, is that Trey and I have basically said that we won't marry anyone unless they go through premarital counseling. And we Pat and I do that, and they go for 8 weeks, about 2.5 hours each time that we do it. So we want people to be prepared for marriage and not just a wedding, you know. And we really hit the covenant, you know, the covenant of marriage, so that there is an understanding that it's not a contract that could be broken, but that, you know, that it's a covenant. And so that if they hit a, you know, hit some rust spot, hit a bump, that they can still be able to come back and talk about it.
Right, because bumps are bound to come, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're going to happen in a marriage.
Pat and I are the first ones. We've been married 42 years, but we know just as we're sitting here that we can't stand still and mark time, that we have to continue to be intentional about working on our marriage relationship. And I say this in our marriage classes. There's two decisions I make on a daily day because they're both decisions to love. And one is that I'm going to love God, and the other is that I'm going to love my wife.
Right, and that is a great ritual right there. That's as good as it gets, Mark.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
So one thing I did notice is that you bring people to a place where they do talk about forgiveness, but you give them grace in that you give them a chance to heal. That they have to come to a place of knowing they need to mourn the loss of the dream of their marriage. But you're absolutely correct. In every case that we've come across where there's a remarriage, that they bring in the pain from the previous marriage where they were betrayed or they were the betrayer. But they still bring that with them. They bring that pain right into their new relationship. And so, and then we have to start working with them in their marriage.
Right.
I sort of visualize that too, is that when a couples are, you know, married, that says that what God is joined together, you know, and you know, that no man would take apart or pull apart. And I think that in the spiritual sense, you know, that we're together, and that when there is a divorce or a break in relationship, that we when we're torn apart, that we rip a piece of that off with us. That's kind of a visual part that I see, that we, even though that we're leaving each other, there's still a piece of that person we're taking with us that hangs on there. And sometimes that's what causes problems in the next marriage, because we start projecting what happened from that marriage into this marriage, you know. So
for the individual or the couple that may be listening as we're wrapping our program up tonight, who may be thinking there's no hope or divorce would be easier, having gone through the weekend and given your experience in marriage ministry, what would you say to them?
I would say that, you know, that...
Call Rick.
I would say to you, whoever's out there, and if you're just listening and you're bordering on divorce and thinking, being told that's the only way out, it's not the only way out, that there is hope, and that if you come and you listen and just be able to receive, that God will just be a witness to you that you're doing the right thing, that you have to, in other words, just be available and open to do that. We always say, but God, and God can heal. He will heal.
Absolutely. I would want to say, don't stay alone and in that pain. You need to get some help, and there's help out there, but you have to make that phone call.
You bet. And as we close up, Leslie, did you want to say something?
No, I just really appreciate you all being here this evening, and really appreciate you spending the whole weekend with us. That was a huge time sacrifice.
Right.
And a gift to us.
Amen.
It was a gift to
and,
us, too.
If you have any more questions about our EMS weekends, guys, you can go to affairrecovery.com. That's affairrecovery.com, and you can find information there. Or if you're interested, if because of your location you can't come to Austin, consider our online courses that are now running. You can also find information about the online courses at affairrecovery.com. Welcome. I mean, thank you for coming this week. Welcome for coming, whatever. Who knows? I'll just stutter for the rest of the night. Thank you for joining us is what I was trying to say tonight. And may God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services, Affair Recovery Radio, radio through the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable If you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal, we are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?